So, keeping it brief, we're just gonna watch some old videos of me.
Sweet. First of all, I just want to say that I love that it's in a 4:3 aspect ratio.
I mean, this is like 15 years ago.
Now, what are we gonna do, Miss Jaden, today?
Aww.
Make cookies.
Cookies?
Make cookies.
For what? What?
What are you making cookies for?
What are they?
Just oh, sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
What are they?
Sprinkles.
You tell me what happens on Easter.
Dad eats a hide and hop on and.
What are you saying?
Hides all the eggs.
Who does?
Bunny.
The Easter bunny.
Obviously.
Look at that. Those cookies are probably bad by now.
This is very good.
Very good. I mean, it's sprinkles. I'm not even eating the cookies.
I was gonna say, you put sprinkles in videos first.
Yeah.
Wait, just wait, pause it. I just want to go over all the cookies that you've
made. Yeah, my
mom
said that she helped with some. And
the J, that's supposed to be James. This one, you were just like, oh, there's a bunch of sprinkles.
Looks like I just dropped a bunch of sprinkles on.
These three up here, your mom did.
Give sprinkles. Me some credit here.
This one was definitely you.
I don't even know what that is. This one even actually has a question mark on it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Obviously, I was going to grow up to be an artist.
The J one's my favorite. Is it backwards? No, it's not.
No,
I'm dyslexic.
Look at that monster bite.
Well, how old was Jax?
He's not even born.
He's not born? This is
no. Spoilers.
BJ?
BJ.
Before Jax?
S1.
An S1.
And a secondly one. A dad one. Mm-hmm. And a...
Wait.
A line one.
Mm-hmm.
Is this loss?
And what are these for? Easter? Don't cough on the cookies.
Easter. You can see my old dog.
Oh,
Acacia. Looking for the egg. It's right there.
Oh.
The big bottle.
Man, where could it be?
Is this coming out on Easter?
I don't know.
When is Easter? That's an egg.
I took a good 7 seconds to find that.
Yeah. It was camouflaged. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah.
Walk to your right. Your right.
That's the face of someone who doesn't know the rights or lefts.
Jaden, that way.
Your dad has to point it out.
To your right.
Dad, I still don't know my right.
Behind you.
I know that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, man, I keep walking forward.
You're warmer, colder, colder.
I don't even find it.
You don't.
I'm hiding under the table.
Jaden.
Yeah. She's just so
face.
Disappointed. Oh, it's Disneyland.
Oh. Who are those people?
I was gonna say, like, which one's Jax?
I was in someone else's photo.
Oh. Oh, Mickey.
Oh, Mickey. I look really...
You don't know who that is.
I remember my parents, mm-hmm. like, they gave me that hat, and it had, like, an engraving of my name in the back.
Aww.
I think, like, I was like, oh, I like the other one better, but this one's okay. And then my parents were like, we'll get you the other one. As a kid, I was like, oh my god, I feel so bad.
Even as a kid, you were that conscious about spending money, basically?
Yeah, I was like, I don't need two hats.
Those characters in Disneyland must be, like, really hard to have that job, because you have to be high energy all day.
You just have to have high, like, body movement energy.
But then I was thinking about it, like, they don't have to smile in pictures.
No.
They don't even have to smile at all. This guy could be frowning right
Someone
now.
Someone could be, like, mouthing, I hate you.
Yeah, and no one would know. Yeah, see, he could just be like, get over here, kid.
Get the freaking.
Aw, Tigger and Eeyore.
I had fun!
What?
I had fun.
Alrighty. Aww. Did you just trip?
Oh, Naruto run.
Naruto run.
Yeah, not too fast. Oh my god.
Oh goodness. Is this you?
Yeah,
what?
It went back in time.
It went back in time?
That's my first birthday.
Two.
Blow it out.
Do it. Come on, just.
Hey, she stole the credit. Someone give me some cake.
I'm trying to remember what my first birthday was like.
My mom's like force feeding me the cake. I'm crying. Mom.
Do you remember any of these?
Oh, of course not.
Well, do you remember the Disneyland?
I don't know any of these people.
Except not even your mom.
It's mommy's tummy.
Oh, whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is Jax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were in the stuff. You're alive.
Jaden.
What's up?
But look at Crab.
There's brethren there.
But Crab.
But Crab. Did you realize that this is going to be your brother forever?
I don't think I knew.
What movies were out at this time? Like, what would have a kid liked?
I'm literally forcing my dad to videotape the Crab. This is my unborn brother. He's going to be born tomorrow. And I'm like,
but look
at this awesome shot.
Zoom in a little bit. Hey, look at your pretty friend.
Oh, it's Jax.
Who's born. That? Look at him. Super Jax. He used to, like, put his blanket over.
Oh, SpongeBob.
Like that. Yeah, we loved SpongeBob.
Super Jax.
Super Jax. Look at that. Watch out, you don't bump into
it. Is it weird that I also had a Super James?
Really?
That's not weird.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. Oh, a horse.
Oh, this
wait,
is
this is like a neighborhood. Okay,
so what happened here was, this was on Halloween, and someone
dressed up as a horse.
This girl just brought a horse to the cul-de-sac, and everyone's like, okay.
Guys, check out this horse.
Can we pet it? I remember I was scared of that horse.
Oh boy, who's there?
Oh my god.
If you didn't tell me it was Halloween, I would have been like, what? Oh, I love how I can see anything.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I see Patrick.
I think Jackson is part of the KKK.
He's part of... I mean, it's not... Am I allowed to have that?
It was your dad who said it. Did you get candy? Oh.
I guess so.
So do you remember any of, like, dressing up as SpongeBob for Halloween?
I do remember dressing up, but...
Play the drums.
Nice.
You playing the drums?
He just breaks one.
I remember we would take out the bowls and play them like drums with chopsticks.
Do kids even know what drums are at that age?
I don't know. I think our parents were like, drums, and we're like, okay. Oh.
Careful. Oh, not so good. Jaden's first day of school.
Aww. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. My niece, next year she's going to start her first day of school.
Really?
And it's like,
is she as excited as I was?
I don't know, but it's just like weird to think, like, because my niece, I still think of her as a baby, and it's like, she can't talk. She can talk. I just haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, you're just not there for her.
Yeah.
It's weird for, like, we're, like, done, but some kids are just starting. It's like, oh.
What do you mean we're done? Oh, like, done with school?
We're done with school. Like, we went through 12 years.
Yeah.
And some people are just starting.
Do you think there's any kindergartners watching this?
Maybe. Best of luck out there, troops.
Yeah.
You can do some messed up stuff in kindergarten. You can eat glue.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, he's kindergarten.
It's the
Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls backpacks.
It's Powerpuff Girls, of course.
I love them.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I don't just dance. I don't have anything to dance for in Glee anymore.
I was going
to
say, did you dance like this for the first day of school in any other years? Because I feel like since first grade, you like would not be happy to go back to school.
After this first day, I'm like, oh.
This is what school is.
How much do I have left? 12 years? Oh.
What do you think you're going to do today?
Do you not realize?
Cuddle? You say cuddle? Cuddle and have fun!
School's the best!
Okay, let's go. Dance!
Wait, what song is this?
It's Celebration.
Oh, wow. Woo. So.
Jax dance. I don't remember any of this. So, like, if these weren't recorded, they'd be lost in the world's history. Thank God they were resurrected.
Yeah.
I remember this Jeep.
Yeah.
It would always run out of battery.
What, did you get it for, like, Christmas or a birthday? Or just.
No. I ran over France!
Put your hands on the wheel!
Look at me.
Wait, the front's all busted up.
Yeah. I drive a little bit better.
Turn to the right.
Oh, and that's it.
That's it?
That's all we have.
That's a good way to end it. Driving off into the sunset.
I'm a better driver now. I don't start and stop in the middle.
You're not as, like, push and go.
I used to. That's how I started. I would, like, and my mom's like, you should just keep your foot on the pedal.
Yeah. What did we learn?
It's weird that I was that person.
I saw one of those, like, fun fact website things that your cells regenerate every 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's like every 7 years, you are technically a different person. So
we just watched some random kid.
Every seven years.
Is it, like, gradual?
Or maybe it's gradual. Because I don't think it's, like...
We're all just morphing butterflies.
Yeah, I don't think it's, 7 years, time to shed my skin and regenerate. That's just what I think all all children are like. They're all excited, full of happiness.
Excited to go to school and cuddle and have fun. Now here I am, bags under my eyes.
Oh no, having a job.
I can't make 3 batches of cookies and just scribble all over them.
No one's filming you, just going like, wow.
Wow, yummy for tummy. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Jaden.
Those videos.
Trip down memory lane. Now yeah. I want to look at some of my old videos.
You should. It was really fun.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, bye.
All right, wear your seatbelt.
I just recently realized that the majority of my school days are over. I don't know about anyone else, but I used to think to myself, ugh, school's never gonna end. 12 years plus college is so long to spend just in school. And now, all of a sudden, it's practically over. And it's like, what happened? Wait, I'm not ready to be an adult yet. And you know what else is scary? I don't remember pretty much anything I learned from grade 6 up. It's just a jumble of English papers and random history I didn't care about. Kind of makes you question the education system when you think about it. So I don't remember a lot of the things I studied during school, but I do have a lot of dumb, random memories that I, for some reason, haven't forgotten about over the years. For example, in first grade, I lost my front left tooth in the middle of class and started bleeding all over the place, and the teacher had to stop in the middle of class to get me a tissue and one of those little teeth envelopes to hold the tooth I just spat out. I don't know if schools still use those, but they were the funniest concept to me. Like, you come home. Oh, Mom, you got mail. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's not much. It's just my freaking gross saliva-covered baby tooth I ripped out of my head in the middle of school. Does school still do this? I don't know. I hope so. Oh, Jaden, that's a funny memory. I bet you don't remember what you were learning about while you bled on everything. Nope, you're wrong. We were learning about emperor penguins. Thanks for remembering all those important details, brain. Appreciate ya. I also remember everyone in school kind of fit into a category. Athletes, popular kids, nerds, anime nerds, emos, you name them. What kind of kid was I in school? You guessed it! The quiet one who never talked at all. Growing up, I was a shy, quiet person, and I always only had 1 or 2 friends in a class, if any. I mean, I'm still pretty reserved, but I mean, that's another point. I was so shy that one time my nose started bleeding randomly in the middle of a class, and I was too quiet to get up and excuse myself to go to the bathroom or the nurse. So I silently just raised my hand, waiting to get permission to leave. And you know what happened? The teacher took 5 minutes to call on me. I spent 5 minutes panicking, trying my best not to bleed on anything. Looking back, there was a lot of blood involved in these memories. Ooh, one time a teacher asked the class a question, and a few people raised their hand, but as he was looking around the room, we made eye contact. Oh god. Jaden! Crap. Everyone knows, if you don't want to be called on, don't make eye contact. It's school 101. I don't know. He went on to someone else who had their hand raised, which he should have done in the first place. If someone doesn't have their hand raised, it means they don't have the answer. Don't be mad when you call on someone without their hand raised and they don't have an answer. So he continued his lecture, and I started calming down from the surprise spotlight. But a few minutes later, he had another question. Can anyone define a peninsula? Oh, I know what a peninsula is, but I don't know how to describe it, so I won't raise my hand. Jaden! What the- Are you actually trying to give me a seizure? I don't... Do you know? No, but... No, well, I mean, yes, I know what it is. Then he yelled, "Then tell me!" The class laughed because he was being sarcastic. I thought it was funny too, but for some reason I almost started crying. He didn't call on me the rest of the year. Alongside being the shy girl, I was also known as being the art kid. I think everyone who's artsy in school can relate. Whenever someone found out you like to draw, it would immediately turn to, "You like to draw? Can you draw me?" And the answer would always be, anyway, like the nice way of saying, that's a silly question. No, of course I don't want to draw you. And several years later to this day, people are still asking me if I would draw them things. And the answer is still, no. In my middle school art class, on the last day of school, we had a little celebration end of the year art competition. Not a drawing contest, but a who's the most passionate about art and is most likely going to do something with it in their life and not just drop it and get a day job sitting in a cubicle all day. Contest. Me, having pretty much zero self-confidence, already accepted the fact that someone else would get it. I wasn't sad or anything. I just knew in my head people weren't going to vote for me because, one, I never really talked to people, and it was a class vote, and two, I don't know, I just didn't think I was good enough. But to my surprise, I actually won! I was so startled when the teacher called my name, like, what? Me? Are you sure? You don't want to count the votes again? Kathy's pretty good. Everyone likes Kathy. Freaking Kathy. Then high school happened, and I met my high school art teacher. This guy was... I don't know how to describe him. I've never met someone so... psychopathic. To start, he had this obsession with Pirates of the Caribbean, and even though there's nothing wrong with that, I mean, everyone has their fandoms. He would sit back at his desk and blast different remixes of the Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack, even when we were all trying to draw. He would hop up onto desks and scream, "Swing your sword!" while whirling around a golf club with a paintbrush taped to the end of it. No one knew what he meant. We didn't question anything. He hung a pirate flag on the emergency fire sprinkler. A bit of a safety hazard if you ask me, but again, no one questioned him. And one time on a random day of class... "Arr! Draw me!" He burst through the door dressed up completely like a pirate, screaming in people's faces and running around like a crackpot. I didn't take his class anymore. But that was not the end of Mr. Captain Jack Sparrow, nope! You know why? Because he was one of the tennis coaches, yep! And you all know who was on the tennis team. It wasn't that bad because he coached the boys' team. His ex-wife coached the girls. She got fired later on for sleeping with the track teacher. But this story isn't about her. So he'd be there while we were on the next court with our own drills. And one practice, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden he got super hyped out of nowhere and started yelling and making a commotion. And we all kind of just stopped and looked over at him like, okay, what's he doing? And then he started yelling, "I'm gonna jump over the net!" And the rule of tennis for everyone out there is, don't jump over the net. We were all just standing there like, what the heck is going on? And then he started running to actually do it. And you know what happened? He safely jumped over the net. Wrong. His foot caught the top of it, and it slingshotted him face first into the concrete. This is why you don't jump over the net. You need to take him to the doctor. And she's like, nah, he's fine. Like, no, seriously, he could have a concussion. That was a hard hit. He's alright, he'll shake it off. Dude, so his ex-wife took him to the doctor, and we all just stood around for a while. I don't think he had a concussion, but he did get two black eyes and had to wear sunglasses in class for like a month. And that was cool for me, there you go. Hey dudes! It's been a while since I've talked to you. Sorry I took so long getting this video out. I'm gonna start uploading more frequently now, so yeah. I wanted to let you know real quick before the recording bloopers, there's new t-shirt designs in the shop now, so you might want to check those bad boys out. Yeah. I always record in my closet, and Ari's in here with me. You got anything to say, Ari? Quack? Okay, so yeah, see you later, alligator. Quiet person, and I always only had one, and I was so shy that, oh, my neck popped. Which he should have done in the first, hey, which he should have done in the first, Ari. Which he should have done in the, god dang it. I think that actually helped me continue doing art, actually. Wait. Quack, quack.
I think we all know the gist of what a speedrun is. Play game fast. But there's so much more that goes into it than what's on the surface. People spend hundreds of hours practicing games, finding optimal routes, discovering the most precise glitches that can save from minutes to just a few frames, which if you don't know is basically risking your entire run just for a few milliseconds of time save. I've come to love speedruns, watching them at least. Something about them is really cool to me, and I think the community is really cool. It's all cool. I've been lurking and watching various speedrunners for a decent amount of time, and I decided that I wanted to do a speedrun. Now, I don't really have the time to set aside hundreds of hours to hone my skill on whatever game I want, so I decided I had to do a blind speedrun where I just play it for the first time and try my best. I spent a few days racking my brain on what game I'd like to run. I like Pokemon. Maybe I could run a Pokemon game. But that's a lot of researching and memorizing and luck. I could try a Mario game. It's a popular category, but I don't know if it's for me. Then it hit me. The perfect game. Of course! Why hadn't I thought of it sooner? I ran to speedrun.com to check if anyone has run it yet. No one. None. I'm gonna be the first person in the world to speedrun Cooking Mama 2 Dinner with Friends. that I know of. Why did I choose Cooking Mama? Because, dude, Cooking Mama is awesome. If you haven't played, it's a DS game where you follow steps to make food and impress Mama. The better you do, the better score you get. Plus, I'm at an advantage when it comes to preparing food. I've seen Food Wars. I know all the techniques and secrets. If you're under 18, don't look it up. Why did I choose the second game and not the original? That's the one I bought. Duh. I used to play Cooking Mama all the time as a kid with my friend Kate. I always thought Mama's English was really funny. You gave it your best effort. I still love it. We even had this system where if we kept failing at a recipe, we'd have to change chairs because that one had bad luck. Obviously. I don't have that luxury this time because I have to stay by the computer, so I'll have to come up with a better strategy. Also, extra movements lose time. I need to be efficient here. Anyway, I wanted to have some sort of challenge, so I decided to add some rules to my run. One, I have to fully complete the main game mode, Cook with Mama. Two, I have to receive a gold medal in every single recipe. That means I can't make a mistake. Ever. Can't burn a single onion, can't accidentally pour the rice into the sink, can't smack my hand while pounding mochi. If I do, the whole recipe needs to be redone. Three, that's it. Do it fast, I guess. The first recipe is pizza, and I was off to a pretty good start. Obviously, it's a speed run, so I didn't have time to read the little description on what to do each step, but for the most part, I was able to use my massive IQ and big strong brain to decode the objectives in split seconds. Except in the last step where I didn't know how to work the oven and failed immediately. Again, off to a great start. After deciphering how the oven worked, I was moving on quickly. Peanut butter, poke the peanuts, done. Oops. Recover, adapt, overcome. Done. Seabream carpaccio. Exfoliate the fish, chopping, restart. Choose smaller knife, easy peasy. Corn soup. Ew. Bald the corn, boil, strain. Oh, come on! Not all the corn came out. Alright, admittedly, I was making a lot of mistakes at the beginning. I was nervous because it was my first speedrun, and I didn't know what I had to do most of the time, and was generally panicking. But then I remembered that no Cooking Mama 2 speedruns exist yet, so that means I'm on world record pace, and that made me feel better. One mechanic I had to learn the hard way was, when it comes to the oven, choose the low heat. The first attempt, I decided to go with the medium heat to go a little bit faster. And look at this! Oh no! What was that? That was a speedrun in itself. Burn the apple pie as quick as possible. You know how there's separate categories in speedruns? Mario Odyssey has the one where you take Mario's shirt off as fast as possible called nipple percent. I want one for Cooking Mama 2 called burn apple pie percent, where you just burn the apple pie as quickly as possible. Anyway, I redid the pie and was moving on. Bonk. Ill rice bowl. We're about an hour in at this point. I had my friends in a Discord call so they can help me take notes so I didn't have to rewatch all the footage again for the script, and they decided to look up how many recipes there actually were in the game. I didn't know because I wanted to go in completely blind. And you know what they discovered? There are a total of 80 recipes in this game. An hour in, I was on recipe 8. Which would be impressive in real life, but not here. So either we were gonna pull a Cooking Mama all-nighter, or I had to start picking up the pace. Sorry, Shrimp. This is gonna get violent. It wasn't perfect, and I was still making some mistakes, but I started getting into the zone. It helped that I was starting to get familiar with the mechanics and actually know what the game wanted me to do for most of the steps now. Waffles, chili dog, meatloaf, lobster. I was one-shotting all of them. I even put 2 mama flags on the lobster, which was a bit risky, but you know me, I live for the danger.
I almost forgot to put the lobster on.
Let me pause and tell you a story of my childhood. I already mentioned my love for Cooking Mama as a kid. Even 12 years ago, I set myself the goal of getting gold in all the recipes. But one haunting memory I have of this game was my struggle against the Mama Rice Cracker. All the steps are relatively simple, but at the end you have to stamp all 18 crackers with a Mama stamp. That's what makes the Mama Rice Cracker the Mama Rice Cracker. But as a kid, my DS was old and I dropped it a few times, which messed up the calibration on my screen in a way I couldn't fix. So that meant at the very end of the recipe, it was extremely hard for me to stamp the stamp in the exact spot that Mama wanted. I spent weeks, I'm not joking, trying to get the gold on the Mama Rice Cracker. It was the last one I needed, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I'm pretty sure I was eventually able to pass, but let's just say I didn't, for the sake of drama. Either way, I was having PTSD. I was going through all the steps, washing the rice, putting the rice in the little hole, mochi pounding the rice scoop, and then it appeared. The screen that caused the most pain a video game could to a 10-year-old. I was slowly making my way down the line. Everything was going well. Then all of a sudden, on the 10th cracker... No! I accidentally tapped the screen when I was lining up my pen, causing me to not brand the cracker enough. I'm not one to believe in spiritualism or star signs or Destiny's Child, whatever that stuff is. But that moment in particular made me question if it was all real and my only fate is to eternally fail the last step of the Mama Rice cracker recipe until I inevitably die in an unaccomplished old man that makes ugly rice crackers. I did it right the next time, but that would have been unfortunate, right? With the Mama Rice cracker conquered, now nothing was in my way, and I was making my way through the rest of the recipes. At the 2-hour, 37-minute mark, 27 recipes in, Ari got out of his cage and was running around the room, so I had to spend precious time getting him back under control. That was a loss of 2 minutes right there. Then I misliced the ravioli, so I'm blaming all of that misfortune on Ari. I actually struggled a lot on the ravioli recipe. The pasta is really hard to cut because you have to time the slice with the line, but since I was so focused on when to cut, a lot of the time I would deviate from the actual line to cut from and mess up. Then when I was able to get past that stage, for some reason the mic had trouble hearing me blow, so even though I was doing what I was supposed to, I'd fail anyway. No, do you hear it? Overall, I had to redo the ravioli recipe 6 times, and I spent 11 minutes on it. Not great. Thanks, Ari. But after that, I was able to one-shot both the cake and the spring rolls. And can we talk about how the ice cream recipe literally just makes you scoop out store-bought ice cream and put sprinkles on it? That's been my favorite recipe so far. Skipping forward a bit, let's talk about the mango pudding. This was ravioli part 2. The first step I had trouble with was memorizing the order of the ingredients. It was a 6-part Simon Says memory game, and my big smooth brain can only handle one number at a time before the concept of object permanence leaves my body. I inevitably got a lucky pattern that was easy to remember, and after a few more steps, in the end, I had to draw a line at a specific speed that would remove the pudding cleanly. Too slow and it wouldn't come out, too fast and it just... For the life of me, I couldn't get the pacing right 3 consecutive times in a row. And with the combined difficulty of that, along with the memorizing, I spend another 10 minutes trying to get it right and still failing. My confidence was shattered and I had to take a mental health break. I'll be back for you, mango pudding. I'll come back stronger. And I'll cook you so well, I'll become the mama. I was in shambles from the pudding, but was able to move on and started getting back into a rhythm. All these foods, I was knocking them out one by one. I will note that I struggled with popcorn because I thought there was going to be some sort of indicator or something on when to open the lid. So I just sat there until I realized I burnt it all.
Oh, wait.
So I was like, oh, okay, I'll open it when I hear the popping sounds. And then I opened it with like 5 popcorns. But it's okay, I was able to figure it out. Overall, the rest of the run went on without any major problems. I was able to finish up the rest of the recipes, and at the 6-hour, 38-minute mark, I only had 2 recipes left. The bento box, and of course, the mango pudding. Time is ticking, we're in the endgame now. Also, my Discord friends were ready to never talk to me again. I thought I could just get the bento box over with quickly because it's like, you just put food in box, right? Well, actually, I didn't realize I had to include food from all the categories Mama gave me or something. So I failed it like 3 times and was on the brink of insanity trying to figure out what Mama wanted from me. The food is in the box, Mama. What's what a bento box is? Food in box. What else do you need? Blood? A blood sacrifice? It didn't say anywhere in the instructions that I should have put more variety in there. Not that I was reading the instructions anyway. I still, right now, don't know what Mama wanted, but at least I finally got the gold. After 4 minutes. That meant I only had 1 last recipe. 79 were completed. The mango pudding was the only thing standing between me and the first Cooking Mama 2 Dinner with Friends world record. I clicked it nervously, but I climbed my mountain. I trained with Mama, and I've come back a new chef. Peeling, slicing, blending, I was quicker than ever. There it was. The memorizing. I was doing well until...
No!
I restarted. I was sweaty and shaking. My brain was shutting down. My eyes had only been seeing Cooking Mama for the past 6 hours and 45 minutes. Every breath was Cooking Mama. Every neuron in my skull was Cooking Mama. Every atom in the universe at that moment was Cooking Mama. But my next attempt, oh my God, oh Jesus, is this the one? I nervously went through the rest of the recipe until I arrived at the last step. It's been about 3 hours and 15 minutes since I practiced removing the pudding from the mold, and to be honest, I don't remember the removal strats. First one, second one, let's go! I got all the puddings out flawlessly. I waited until the results to confirm it. Boom! 100 points on the mango pudding. Stop the timer. I did it. At long last, all 80 recipes in Cooking Mama 2, gold. In 6 hours, 47 minutes, and 27 seconds. There might be some room for improvement there. Overall, I had a really fun time with the speedrun. It's not even close to a good run, and the time can easily be halved, but I still pride myself in knowing I was the first one to complete and document the Cooking Mama 2 all gold percent, and also burnt apple pie percent. If there's any speedrunners out there wanting to try and take my crown, I'll share some speed strats I thought of during the run. If you complete the steps too quickly, you get a bonus, and at the end of the recipe, if you get 5 bonuses, you receive a gift that you can't reject or skip, which loses a lot of time. You're smothering me, Mama. So if you can get no bonuses within the entire game, you'd be saving a lot of time. Another tip is, if you're gonna mess up the recipe, don't mess up the last step, because if you do, you have to wait through Mama giving you your score and clapping for you and being like, yeah, it's almost perfect. And the whole time you're like, yes, Mama, I know it's not perfect. I dropped an egg. And then she gives you like 3 presents in a row because you got too many bonuses. And you're just screeching at her to shut up the whole time. I didn't discover any glitches that would save time, unfortunately. I don't know what a Cooking Mama glitch would look like, but it doesn't sound pleasant. But it doesn't matter, because as of this moment right here, I'm the one with the Cooking Mama 2 Dinner with Friends world record. Guess I finally did something with my life after all. Anyway, thanks for watching my first attempt at a speedrun. I think, in hindsight, I should have chosen a game that could have been done in a few less hours, because I feel like I aged 20 years after this. But you live and learn.
I wanted to submit my run to speedrun.com, but since no one has run the game yet, I need to submit a request to add Cooking Mama 2 Dinner with Friends. But I only made my account last night, and to make a request, I need to have had my account for 7 days. So I'll submit it in 7 days. But it's not gonna be interesting, I didn't record my audio with it. It's just 6 hours of Cooking Mama gameplay. Also, we're working to drop some new merch in the shop really soon. I don't know if it's on the site yet, but it's coming, and we've got some real fun stuff in the works. Alright, that's it. See you later.
Hello, everybody! Friends! Hello, friends! I've got a special surprise for you all today! It's James!
Hey! How's it going? Heyo!
Some of you, most of you, should know him from The Odd Ones Out.
Yee!
And if you don't, you better get on that, because he's, like, the funniest channel.
Thanks.
It's a fact. We became friends a little while ago, and I thought it was about time to have you on the video.
Thank you.
So, coincidentally, we both live in the oven that is Arizona, and we wanted to share our thoughts and opinions on it. Like, don't get us wrong, we love it here.
Well, I mean, love is a pretty strong word.
We don't completely despise Arizona.
Mm.
But there's just some things about it that are just like, eh. So we're gonna talk about them, and yeah.
There's no trees here.
One, the heat. You talked about it a lot in your own Arizona video, James.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone hasn't seen it, I suggest you watch that, because it is a pretty A1 video.
Thanks.
But don't do it yet, because you still gotta watch this video.
Yeah, don't watch that video.
Yet. It gets absolutely scalding here. What, the record last summer was like 120 Fahrenheit, something like that?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was unbearable.
Like, shoot, Arizona, slow your roll with the heat. We're not eggs trying to be boiled over here. And some people do that. They try to fry eggs with just the sun. You can look it up. It's a thing.
Oh, it's disgusting.
You didn't put any salt on it. The heat is so bad, especially in the summer. If you wanted to do anything outside, then you had a 50% chance of having a heat stroke. It's just a risk you had to take.
Also, cars become literal toasters. You open the door and you're hit with just a massive wave of just Satan. And you'd sit down with like as little skin touching the seat as possible, and you kind of just have to wait and sit there, wait for the heat to die down just enough to be able to do anything. The seatbelt's too hot, the dash is too hot, the steering wheel's like, holy Jesus.
You think we're exaggerating, but no. If your car was parked in direct sunlight, you have to wait for it to cool down because you have to touch the steering wheel to drive. And you don't want to be driving like you're playing hot potato with the wheel.
I think someone needs to invent, like, a little compartment for holding oven mitts or something in the car, because that's really the only way you can actually drive without burning your hands off.
If someone actually does that, then we should get 50% of the profit because we came up with that idea. And then when you're all done and you get out of the car and you hear your sweaty back being pulled apart from the leather seats like a sticky note.
It's gross.
2. Cactuses.
Cacti.
Not a lot of places have cacti. Only Arizona, Texas, Nevada, and New Mexico have natural growing cacti. And a tiny bit of Mexico. So some people who visit are like, ooh, look, cacti, cool. Sure, they're cool to look at, but I don't get why they're so excited about cacti. They're freaking everywhere.
Yeah, living with them is the worst. When I was growing up, I lived in a cul-de-sac neighborhood where the road looped around a little desert patch. Well, when I was learning to ride a bike, I was pedaling down the road towards the neighborhood, and I didn't turn with the road because I didn't know how. So I rode straight into the desert center and ran into a little cactus patch. I don't remember much about it because I was little, but it was pretty scarring.
Literally. Also, there's a type of cactus called jumping cactus, because they jump out and attack you for no reason. Guess who? Cacti are jerks.
3, the wildlife. Everyone always talks about the scary scorpions and snakes here, and yeah, they're pretty sucky to have to deal with.
Yeah, one time this big scorpion-
But no one ever talks about the friggin' javelinas! If you don't know what javelinas are, they're wild hogs. And they're scary as freak. They're mean, and they'll run after you, and they travel in packs, and they're smelly.
I've never had to deal with those before.
Well, let me tell you. The only way you can get them to not attack you is to feed them bananas. But then they start coming back because they want more bananas, and you're stuck in this loop forever feeding them all your bananas out of fear.
They're like ducks, but worse.
If ducks were big, ugly, hairy monsters who wanted to eat your bananas.
Me and my siblings used to capture lizards for fun, and we would just hold them. But sometimes we would accidentally pull their tails off. Did you know that lizards' tails still move even after you pull them? I knew that. Also, at night, the cicadas would be really loud and annoying.
4. There's nothing to do here.
That's why me and Jaden are artists. You get to stay inside and do fun stuff, while not having to worry about dying of heatstroke.
Arizona's kinda really boring. There's not much to do here in terms of entertainment. Sure, there's like zoos and aquariums and like mini golf.
And friends, if you have those.
The other main option is dirty water parks. I've never been a fan of water parks. They gross me out. Everyone shares the tubes and the slides and the water with a very minimal amount of clothing on. Like, who knows what's in that water? Especially the wave pools. It's like a public bath. I've seen people take hot dogs into them too. It's like dirty public hot dog bath. Oh, I guess the one I like here is Sunsplash.
Same. Wait, did we go to the same water park?
The same Sunsplash?
I mean, it could be a possibility. Did you go on the green one where the floor would-
Like, the floor would drop? Oh my god.
OMG!
So yeah, that's the video. I need water, but my thing's all the way in the corner of the closet.
You can get up and get it. ASMR, hey, we should make an ASMR video. Stop.
The beloved.
Water.
So yeah, that's the video. James and I found out we probably went to the same dirty water park when we were young and never knew it. And everything's come full circle.
Yeah, the food was pretty expensive.
Hope you guys enjoyed us complaining about where we live. If you want to hear some more of the pros...
And more cons.
...of Arizona, like fruit, old people, and haboobs.
Haboobs!
Go watch James's video, and of course, if you somehow didn't know him or his channel, you gotta check that out too. So, thank you.
Thanks for watching.
For the watching. Thank you for the watching.
The watching, thank you for
Thanks for the watching. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, ready? One, mm-hmm. two, three.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
If you don't know what javelinas are, they're wild hogs. And they're scary as freak. They're scary as freak.
As freak?
Freak. I've never been a fan of dirty water parks. I mean...
Who is?
Hello everyone! Sorry I haven't uploaded in a while. As you know, as most of you should know, I was really busy working on the new Aya's Cupcake animation, the Surgeon Simulator one, but I am back, and I'm working on my next animation for you all. But for now, here's some questions that you've sent to me through Twitter and DeviantArt. Where do you get your animation ideas for your channel? I've just gotten all my ideas from society and the world around us, whether it be from noticing things, just walking around, embarrassing real-life experiences. So basically, all the stories that I'm animating for y'all are just from the juices of life. Do you have any animation tips or tricks? When I was just starting, like I said in my last Q&A, my first animation experience was a huge project, and at the time I had no idea how to actually animate or do anything, and it was scary, it was intimidating, so I would say don't start off with a huge idea or skit because chances are it'll get overwhelming, it'll get confusing, you don't know what the heck in the world is going on, so start off with the basics. I don't know, like a bouncing ball or a walking guy, just to get an understanding of the animation process, and then you can go from there. Will you make animations for other YouTubers? I would love to work with other YouTubers. Working with Cupcake is so awesome, they are amazing people, and I'd love to reach out to some other YouTube channels. I've recently become obsessed with British YouTubers, so I feel like it'd be fun to work with one of them. My favorites are Dan and Phil, most of you should know them, and I feel like they would have some really great animation ideas. Maybe you guys can help me get in contact with them, like Priestum or something. I don't know. Moving on. Am I Team Torchic, Team Trico, or Team Mudkip? Pokemon Ruby was the first ever Pokemon game I ever played, and it's my favorite. And the first time I ever played through it, I picked Torchic, and ever since I was hooked, I love Torchic. Torchic is bae. Also, Blaziken is tied with being my all-time favorite Pokemon ever. Not to say that I dislike Trico or Mudkip, I still love them both, but I always go with my fiery karate chicken. What is 2 plus 2? Do I need to? If I could be any animal that matches my personality, what would it be? This is kind of a funny coincidence because in junior high, I was in a class and somehow we got on the topic of deciding what animal I would be, and apparently the class thought I would be a bunny, so I guess being a bunny wouldn't be that bad. You know, hopping around, eating grass, until you're savagely eaten by a coyote. But, you know, besides that, that'd be pretty cool. How big of a Pokemon fan are you? You all do not understand. I am such a big Pokemon fan. I've played almost all the main games, some side games, I have merchandise, and I actually play it competitively. Yes, there is a technical side to Pokemon that many people are not aware of. It includes complicated things like EVs, IVs, natures, stats, abilities, stuff like that. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you are not ready. Once you are enlightened, you can never play it the same way again. You have been warned. Do you like drawing traditionally or digitally? I started off drawing on paper just like anyone else would. Crayons, markers, stuff like that. So I was always used to paper when I was growing up. But when I got my first drawing pad, I started drawing digitally a lot more. And now I really like drawing digitally just because it's so much easier to fix things or undo something. Control Z is my god. So I am much more of a digital drawer now. Do you play any other games other than Pokemon? I'm just a big Nintendo fan. All my favorite games are made by them. I love Animal Crossing, Kirby, Smash Bros, Mario. Kate and I love playing Cooking Mama together because we rage when we ruin the dish by washing all the rice down the sink or burning the beef in the stir fry because the stupid onions wouldn't cook fast enough. I basically enjoy all the cute cartoony games. What is your advice for people learning to draw? I would say, don't let anything discourage you. If you're passionate enough towards drawing, then you need to keep doing it. Practice literally makes perfect when it comes to drawing. One tip that I figured out is, you shouldn't compare your work with other people's. Everyone draws differently, they all have their own style, and comparing yourself only discourages you. Also, listen to what other people say about your work. Don't just, quote-unquote, block out the haters, because the art world is based on criticism and how people perceive your artwork, so listening to other people's points of view can help you grow as an artist and get better. Well, that's all the questions I have time for. Thank you to everyone who sent one in. If you want to ask a question for the next Q&A, be sure to follow me on Twitter and DeviantArt. I love you all, and goodbye!
Ari, something's telling me people like you more than me.
Maybe I'm being irrational.
I mean, not to rub it in your face or anything, but it's not called Ari Animations. You don't even do anything. I'm the one doing all the animating and work. Don't give me that look. All you do is eat and scream. You... It doesn't matter or anything. Okay, I'm just gonna run a little experiment for research purposes. It's not a competition, just getting information. Doesn't hurt. Just a bit curious to see if I'm just overanalyzing the... Well, since you all just love Ari so much, why don't we just talk about him? No, I get it. Ari's cute. He's funny. He flings strawberries all over the place. Let's shift the spotlight to the star here. I don't think I've ever gone into the origin story of getting Ari, so I guess I should do that. Back when I was 12, I said to my mom, Mom, can we get a bird? I really, really, really like birds. Have you seen that one video of a bird in a rabbit costume? It's pretty great. And she said, okay, you can get a bird when you move out. Wait, but... And that was my life plan for the next 6 years. In my old 100K video, there's even a bit of foreshadowing if you picked up on that.
Oh, you wanted this bird.
I still want a bird, but not this one.
I actually got Ari before I officially moved out, but that's because I was planning to live with some friends, plans ended up falling through, and things were already confirmed with the bird lady. But that turned into an ironic situation because after getting Ari, guess who started falling in love with him? My mom even started to collect Ari's feathers in a little baggie. I'm not sure why. It's not like Ari's gonna be short on feathers anytime. Ever. The moral of the story is, if you want a thing and your mom says no, get it anyway and trick her into liking it so when you move out and take it with you, it's the ultimate revenge. You probably think Ari's just a sweet little angel who eats a lot and pushes things off counters. Well, let's all get on the same page here. Because you're wrong. Very incorrect. The best way to describe Ari is a brat. I love him. But he's a brat. Actually, no. Ari's just the embodiment of a toddler, constantly wanting attention and food. And if he doesn't get it, he screams. Isn't that just the sound of love? Ari also gets really jealous. Since we spend so much time together, he's definitely bonded to me. If anyone gets in the way of us, then he starts getting really aggro and puffs up as if that's threatening anyone. When I was living with my parents, my mom would come into my room and kiss me goodnight, and he would just stare at her. Who does this human think it is? I will end them. Ari sees my mom as competition for my love. He doesn't like her. Ari's actually pretty shy. He's only comfortable with me and Jack so far. Everyone else, he's all, nope! Like, physical nope. No, look.
Sorry.
He's like leaning.
Bye. Dave, you want Ari to lean away from you? Ah!
I also want to bring up the fact that Ari just decides not to like random objects. Like nail filers, those are pretty high up on his hate list. He doesn't like it when I use hair products. He doesn't like it when I refill his water. Hate what you want, Ari, but I think you should be a little bit more grateful that I'm giving you water. Just trust me on that one. Despite being a jealous little punk, Ari does have his golden moments. One thing that he's fascinated by is drawers. I don't think Ari really understands the concept of how drawers work. I can only assume he sees them as little pockets of universes that appear and disappear at random intervals. Because this is pure confusion and interest if I've ever seen it.
It's gone.
Same with mirrors. Aries are typically very intelligent, but most of them don't recognize their reflection, which we can all laugh at. I asked on Twitter if you had any Ari questions, so let's get into those. James said, does Ari have sharp talons? Actually, it's been a while since I got Ari's nails done, so we should go do that. Thanks for reminding me, James.
We're going to get your nails done. You excited? Woo!
I just wanna he's super dumb.
Okay, dude, stop putting your finger up there.
We're done. You scratching your head real good? Oh yeah. That a good scratch? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Is Ari called Ari because we're in Arizona? I've gotten that question a lot, and it's funny. I think it's about time I address it. No. Does Ari flip upside down? And then they show a picture of their Ari. First of all, aw. Second of all,
hi.
Yes. Is Ari secretly making the animations? No, the pen is bigger than his entire body. Does Ari like mangoes? Yes. When I was younger, my family had a sun conure. He was not a quiet bird and got pretty loud. So, how loud is Ari?
Shh.
Does Ari like music? He tries to sing but has no rhythm and is pretty tone deaf. Is Ari friends with the toucan? Yes. Ari, what's your favorite color? Yellow. Can you speak? No. What words? He can't speak.
Am I baka for having a crush on Ari?
Me no baka.
Choo!
Yikes. Can Ari play the piano? No, he's not heavy enough to press any of the keys down. Is taking care of a bird difficult? Okay, holding the jokes for a sec here. I get this question a lot, and it's kind of important. It's not difficult, but there's routines you definitely need to adapt into your life. I'm not the most public with how to get your own Ari, because as fun and amazing as they may seem, obviously, proper Ari care is important, and I want people to do their own research before getting one. It's pretty common for people to impulsively decide to get an Ari and then not care for them correctly by either not having a good cage, giving them improper diet, neglecting it, stuff along that line. They need love! Aris aren't meant to sit in the corner as decoration for their entire life. Before you get an Ari, it's really important you do research on what type of Ari best suits your lifestyle, how much attention you can give it every day, proper health and care needs, all that life stuff. Act like you're getting a child. There's a lot of similarities. You're gonna have to spend time with it. They'll be relatively expensive. They might bite you. There's a chance they'll be living with you for around 18 years, more or less, depending on the type of Ari. People don't impulsively get children. Well, not intentionally. If anything, they can accidentally get stuck with them, but that's not really an issue with getting Aris. So if you've seen Ari and you are okay with it being jealous and a brat and little punk and you still want one, do your own research and don't ask me. I'm not a professional. I don't know why people keep thinking I'm professional at anything, but I'm doing pretty good with the information I took the time to find and learn about. So, yeah. Now let's end the video with some miscellaneous footage of Ari being Ari.
No one likes a peeping Tom. All right, I'll let you in.
Ari. Hi.
What are you doing? Don't ah. Well. Well.
Hello. You brought a rice.
Oh. Oh. Wah. Wah. You're just talking to yourself over there. On Lonely Island. Is that right? Are you angry? Are you angry because you want to be over here? We don't all get what we want now, do we? You're just screaming by yourself on the top of the tower. You stealing some peanut butter? Is that good?
I was talking to some friends and we were trying to figure out why birds were such derpy meme animals, and they mentioned the fact that it might have to do with them having no arms, which makes everything they do really funny. So now that they've said that, I can't unsee the fact it's funny birds have no arms. I'm not saying that people with no arms are funny. Okay. I like when you look at a bird from the very front of their face and you can see both their eyes bulging out the sides of their head. I think that's really funny. Not to make fun of people whose eyes are bulging out the sides of their head. Normally people tweet at me with random references to my videos like half-popped popcorn or if they see my toucan in Target. But my favorites are when people send me pictures of their birds. Keep sending those. Same with dogs. Send dogs. Those are good as well. Do any of you have sugar gliders? I think those are cool. If you have a weird exotic pet, send me a picture of them. I want to see them. That's a demand. Okay, bye, I'm done now.
Sneaky advertisements. You all know what I'm talking about. It's when those companies try to get away with selling crappy products by sneaking around details and drawing you in with good deals. There's countless products out there that companies make seem super amazing on the ads or in the commercials, and then you buy it and it's complete crap. So here's some tips, companies, on whether you should sell your products or not, because we, the consumers, are very sick and tired of your sneaky little plans and stuff. If you have to hide something about your product, don't sell it. Okay, how do we say this product will completely blind you if you get it in your eyes? How about we just say that? Blindness is pretty serious and we don't want anyone getting hurt. But we can't have people looking at the bottle and seeing that they could get blinded and get scared and not buy it. Jeremy, how about we write, "Do not let come in contact with face." But that makes it seem not as serious. Exactly. Jeremy, make the print really small and put it at the back and the bottom of the product. If you have to hire actors or write a script for the people on what to say about your product, don't sell it. Okay, so what you're gonna say is, "I love this product, it saved me countless hours of work." But I haven't even used the product before. How do I know if it does? Just say it and we'll pay you lots of money, okay? Don't try to make things seem better by making all the warnings all proper. So you're saying that if someone were to drink this, the product would slowly break down their stomach wall, causing the stomach acid to digest itself, resulting in serious injuries and maybe even death in a matter of days. Yes, that's correct. Not for consumption. If you have to woo people into buying your product with gifts, don't sell it. Special offer! If you buy the self-heating coffee mug, you'll also get a second one, free! Also, if you pay shipping and handling, you get 5 free packs of coffee beans of your choice to go with your amazing new mug. And there's also a limited time offer for a really neat spoon for your coffee mixing. But wait! If you act now, you get a very exclusive mystery prize! Order your self-heating coffee mug today! If you're selling a medicine and the side effects are worse than the actual problem, don't sell your product. Side effects may include sneezing, itchy or irritated eyes, runny nose, dizziness, sore throat, depression, suicidal thoughts or actions, vomiting, some forms of cancer, and memory loss. Some deaths have also been reported. That sounds like a lot of side effects for just curing allergies. Yes, but it's worth it. But most of the side effects include what allergies actually are, like sneezing, itchy or irritated eyes, runny nose, and sore throat. It's basically like you're paying money for allergies. Yes, but it's worth it.
So, Five Nights at Freddy's 4 is a thing.
Dun-dun.
I hear some people want us to play it, Phil.
Do you think so?
I wonder why.
I've actually put super glue on your seat, so you're not going to fall out of your chair today.
Thank you very much. Are you ready?
So ready.
Let's go. Okay, so what have we got here?
Wast.
No, that's the controls.
Oh.
It's not a guy called Wast. Jesus Christ,
I thought he was called Wast.
Oh my god.
That's a good baby name, though, if anyone's pregnant.
Wast.
Just he's looking at us.
That's creepy.
Time to leave.
See you later, mate.
No.
Can't leave!
Get okay. on the bed.
Bam chicka wow wow. Wait, so we're actually in a house? I hate houses! I felt so much safer in a What was that? What was that? What was that?
Hello?
Oh god, I don't want to do that. I don't know what's going on.
Hello? Oh, Freddy.
That's so cute!
I want one
Where's
of those.
The Five Nights at Freddy's merch store?
Yeah.
Oh no, not windows. That means the faces could pop up and stuff. I hate windows, okay, people?
There's a thing you can jump out of, though, if you're scared.
Not in the middle of the country! Where do you run to? The death barn? We have to make sure to not use the flashlight if we hear breathing, right?
Okay, fine.
No, shut up!
I think we're safe. I think everything's okay tonight.
They're not just gonna prank us for the first night, are they? What do I do? How do we protect ourselves? You can't close the bed!
Hide in the closet! We're okay. Can we look at the bed again? I mean, that was...
I am not looking at the bed again.
They're right behind you.
I don't want to look again.
Look again.
Oh, for God's sake. Why are there three? What are we doing wrong?
I don't know.
Ah!
Throwing the robot at them.
You could throw a lamp. How do we protect ourselves?
I don't know. Oh, is our lamp dying?
No. Bags of nope. Hello, are you there? You little shit. I'm looking at you. Are you good? Got my eye on you. You fuck off, Riker.
Hello?
That doesn't help.
Don't speak. I heard something.
No, you didn't.
I heard footsteps. Check.
No, we need to close the door.
Close the door. Shut.
So, what do we do about the freaking death bears behind us and the people on the other side of the corridor?
I think we just hope and pray that they don't eat us from behind. I can hear something behind the door. So maybe we should just keep holding.
I am not letting go till five, and then we're checking the bed, right?
Okay, at five, we'll let go.
I'm taking
are
the
we safe?
I'm
are we safe? Are we safe? Let go.
I'm gonna fuck you up. I'm gonna find where you live, and I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all so much for watching the animation. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you go over and watch the original video where the audio is from and check out Dan and Phil. Also, I'd like to say a very big thank you so much to all the people supporting me on Patreon. I would have never thought so many of you were willing to help me out. You are all the best things ever. Sorry if my voice sounds a bit weird. I literally just woke up and I was like, I need to record audio. Don't forget to follow some of my social medias to stay updated on my life and stalk me. And again, thank you for watching. I'll see you all later. Bye!
I was a child once. Alright, into the stories. I was a good kid growing up. I did what my parents said, followed their rules, ate what they put on my plate. Maybe a bit too well. Flashback to the green bean incident. My mom told me that when I was a small toddler, sometimes I'd have horrible tantrums and rip all the sheets off my bed and sweep everything on my shelves onto the floor in an emotional outrage. She'd have to crack my door open afterwards and say, "Are you done?" so she could help me put everything back. If I wasn't, she'd lock me in my room for a bit longer as I continued being an indignant little tornado and try again in 10 minutes. I've grown out of that phase, luckily. I'm so conditioned to want to follow the rules and not do anything bad that people on multiple occasions have told me, "Jaden, you're so good all the time. You've got to be rebellious every once in a while." And I say, "No." Is that a start? I was such an obedient kid, I've only been grounded once in my entire life. And that story is pretty pathetic. I was maybe 6 at the time and my parents were going out for a date night or whatever to get out of the house. Understandable. Jax was a pretty exhausting kid to deal with, so they left us with a babysitter. Now, as a kid, having a babysitter is emotionally conflicting. On one hand, you don't want this rando middle school kid to be telling you what to do. Go to bed? Psh, you're not my mom. You're not even old enough to go to the bathroom at school without asking for permission. Don't tell me what to do. But on the other hand, babysitters let you get away with way more than your parents. Oh, yeah, mom always lets us have 3 Oreos. It's okay. It's fine. Don't worry. Normally we only get to have 2 Oreos.
We're so sneaky.
It was getting late that night, and before it was my bedtime, I wanted to play outside on our rickety little playset. Now, I'd already gotten ready for bed. I was in my pajamas and brushed my teeth, but I figured it's not past my bedtime yet, so everything's fair game. So the babysitter watched me swing on the swings for like 5 minutes and then go down the slide one time. In the morning, when my parents were back, I woke up and they were like, "You're in trouble."
Did I do something?
What do you think you did? I don't know. Why do adults say that to children, by the way? What do you think you did? I don't know. Seems like you don't even know what I did and are trying to get me to rat myself out.
The babysitter told us that last night you played in the backyard in your pajamas.
What?
We don't want you playing outside in your pajamas. You're grounded tomorrow.
What the fuck? So I was grounded for a day because I played outside in my pajamas. But I cheated like 5 minutes of TV by sneak watching from around the corner, so who's the rebellious one now? There's this golf course a block or two down from my house that had a little lake, and my dad and I would ride our bikes to it every once in a while to feed the ducks. Also, yes, I know ducks shouldn't eat bread. If you didn't know that, don't feed wild ducks bread. Give them candy bars. We were feeding the ducks, minding our own business, when all of a sudden we hear from across the lake,
"Mabel! Mabel!"
There's a neighborhood of houses next to the golf course so people could look out and see the golfers, and in the distance across the lake, some lady was yelling,
"Mabel! Mabel!"
Wonder where Mabel is.
"Mabel, get over here! What are you doing?"
Oh, she's talking to me.
"Mabel, you're in so much trouble!"
My dad and I didn't know what to do. This lady in the distance thought I was Mabel when I was not Mabel. I am Jaden, but she didn't know that.
"Mabel, what are you doing? Get back here!"
We pedaled away. Now, let's put ourselves in the point of view of this lady across the lake. She walks out into her backyard. What a wonderful evening. I think I'm gonna treat myself to some relaxation time out in my backyard. Working my 9-to-5 job and managing 3 children as a single mom sure is hard work, especially since my doctor says I need to lower my stress because it's starting to take a toll on my depression. Okay, maybe a bit too much creative interpretation. She's in the backyard, she looks out across the lake, and what? Who's that? Is that little old Mabel across the lake? How'd she get there? And wait, is that a strange man with her? What the?
"Mabel, what are you doing? Get over here!"
That girl is in so much trouble when she gets back home. I've told her so many times about the dangers of...
Is she peddling away with him?
I hope Mabel wasn't in too much trouble when she got back home. Sorry, Mabel. This story didn't happen necessarily during my childhood, more teenagehood, but I think it's kind of funny, so I'm telling it. I went ice skating with a couple friends one winter, maybe when I was 15, 16. It was busy, but not too busy. Side note, one time my friend invited me to go ice skating, and we were the only two there. It was dope, but also felt like a weird ice rink twilight zone. Anyway, so we were skating around, you know, like what we went there to do. I'm not anywhere near close to a good ice skater, but I hadn't fallen on my butt or head, so I considered it a successful day. After a while, we decided to do one more loop around the rink, and right before we were done, this little boy skates up to me. I wasn't very old at the time, but he was definitely younger than me, maybe 13 or something, I don't know. I looked down at him confused, and he goes, "I like your hat." Oh, by the way, I was wearing a knitted hat that looked like a raccoon, so it was a good hat. "Will you hold something for me?" Okay. And I'll never forget what he says. This is possibly one of the smoothest things I've ever heard from a little 13-year-old boy. So he goes, "Will you hold something for me?" And I go, like, okay, what is it? And he goes, "My hand." No expectations on what he was gonna say, but that one definitely caught me off guard. I was so startled by his... what would you even call that? Pickup line request? That I stumbled back, forgetting I was on ice skates. I didn't fall, but I definitely did one of those weird twisty maneuvers that your body pulls when it's off balance and trying not to fall down. The boy skated off because I think he wasn't expecting to actually physically startle me. Thinking about it, if you were to try and use a pickup line on someone and their immediate response is to be so surprised they almost fall backwards, that... I don't know how to interpret that. Obviously, it's not what you want, but I mean, that's gotta be some sort of achievement. I wonder what would have happened if I decided to say yes to that kid instead of being a freaked out spaz. Maybe there was something there and we could have had a whole future with each other and had great times together, and I'll never know. He's out there in the world right now and I'm talking about him and he probably doesn't even know it. Do you like to make up fake life scenarios for other people? I'm gonna pretend he's going to university to be an orthopedic surgeon. Look it up. Okay, I'll just tell you. It's a doctor who specializes in hands. See where I'm... Yeah. What if he tells his story every once in a while to his friends? Dude, no, like, this one time when I was, like, 13, I ice skated up to this random girl in an ice rink and asked her to hold my hand, even though I didn't know her. Lol, random. She slipped on the ice, though, and it was weird. I just skated away. Meh, yeah, nah, I actually don't really care. My life's pretty fine without him. Have fun with your hand surgeries, my dude. Bye.
A couple months ago, I went to visit the college campus that I planned on attending. I really liked it. Pretty scenery, good art classes. But the campus is really big, and the students are known to ride bikes and skateboard to their classes in order to get there quicker. That's when I decided I'd like to try skateboarding, since they're easier to carry around than a bike for convenience, and I like the idea of having a cool new hobby. After some research, I decided to go to a shop and look at them in person, and maybe talk to some experts. My mom and I drove down to the local mall and walked into the skate shop, where we were greeted by a nice employee. The shop was small, and you could literally have a conversation with someone on the other side of the room, but it was still a pretty cool place. As my mom talked to the employee about what we were looking for, I decided to check out one of the skateboards on display. There's a little rug the store provided for the customers to stand on without slipping off the skateboard, so I used it to try out the board. It was really cool, until I noticed that I was starting to slowly roll off the rug. I started silently panicking to myself. This rug was the only thing keeping me safe from falling off that skateboard. I needed it. I trusted it. And it was betraying me. Stop it! People have different reactions in panic situations. For me, everything goes in slow motion. All I could think about was the horrible ways that this could end. I felt like Mufasa when he was above the cliff with Scar. Rug! Help me! Long live the king slash queen, because technically you are of the female gender, but the quote uses the male counterpart. No! Wildebeests. I was having a mental breakdown in the corner by myself. Half of the board was on the tile now, and it was starting to pick up some speed. I quickly glanced over at my mom to see if she noticed the peril that I was in. Still talking. I had to do something before I was cast away into the abyss of free space. So slowly, I started putting my foot down towards the floor. I should be able to just step off of the board. Nothing else. Oh god, don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. But the thing was, as I was stepping off, the weight on the board became unbalanced, which forced it the opposite way I was getting off. This caught me so off guard, I stumbled backward, launching the skateboard across the floor, and watched as it slammed very loudly into the show rack that was holding other boards. Everyone saw, since we were basically breathing down each other's necks, in a shop the size of a bathroom. My initial reaction, as it is to most things, was to just laugh it off. But it was just a really awkward laugh that I was using to try and say, oh, oops, I'm sorry, I'm such a klutz. But on the inside, stop, don't look at me, no. We left, and every time I pass that store, I just cringe. I can never return there ever again. Wildebeests.
When I was living on my own for the first time, I had to go to the store and get milk and paper towels, and that was the first time I was like, wow, I am such a freaking adult. I really appreciate the childhood my parents were able to give me. I'm really privileged to have grown up in a functional house where my parents didn't want me to die. I made a parent stories video a little over a year ago, and I rewatched it to make sure I didn't repeat any topics, and all I'm gonna say is those stories and animation are not worth 10 million views. That video, I don't like it. I don't like that video. My parents were really, really big on manners and being polite. We've got some Asian blood in us, so we can't bring dishonor to our family. We'd do all the typical things, like call adults Mr. and Mrs., ask to be excused from dinner, make sure to thank everyone for everything ever, bow to our superiors. When my mom had new people come over to the house, she would make me introduce myself and shake their hand. And then when no one was looking, she'd pull me aside to a different room and quiz me. What color are their eyes? That was my mom's training course to get me to be good at eye contact, because I guess I used to be stupid and not look at people when they talked. But I remember that kind of backfired because I'd be so focused on memorizing their eyes that I wouldn't pay attention to what they were saying. Hi, Jaden, how are you? Alright, loser, I've got a quiz to take. Now that I've got 20 years of aced eye quizzes under my belt, I'm an eye contact wizard. I graduated top of my class in eye contact. I've got eye contact master's degrees. Well, every once in a while, some people make me nervous and I get shy. But other than that, I'm an eye contact powerhouse. I realized more recently that I think sometimes I go overboard and just end up staring at people by accident, and it's very weird, and I'm sorry at everyone. My mom would also be really strict on me saying pardon all the time instead of what. Like, she would say something I didn't hear and I'd go, what? And she'd stick her head around with, pardon? I wouldn't be a bimbo and be all, what? It's not like I was being a rude moron. One time, my friend told me, Jaden, I think you're the only person I know that says pardon. And like, that's all fine and dandy. I could respect my mom's request to use an underused polite word. But I can't. Because she's even worse. This is what she does. Mom, did you put my book somewhere? Huh? Objectively speaking, a what is exponentially better than a huh? I started mocking her whenever she did it, and then she gradually stopped bothering me about saying pardon. Also, I realized I never told you that I had a lisp as a kid. My parents meme on me about it all the time, and a running joke in the family came from when I used to be babysat by my mom's friend, who's Italian, which means she'd talk like this and have her house full of a spaghetti, and oh mamma mia. I'm only half joking. She's very Italian. Yahoo! She would make pasta for me all the time, and whenever she would ask what I wanted for lunch, I would pathetically go, pasta with no sauce! I wanted pasta with no sauce. And now, if my family would be having pasta for dinner, someone would end up going, I don't have a lisp anymore. Sometimes it shines through when I talk too fast or get sloppy with my words, but somehow I fixed it by myself. In first grade, we were learning about letter pronunciation, and when we got to S, the teacher explained that some kids say S with their tongue, when it's actually supposed to be behind your teeth. And I was like, oh. So I stopped doing it. Cured. Who knew that if you've got a speech impediment or some sort of hindrance or obstruction in your life, just stop it. Simple. You've got cancer. No, it's okay. Just stop it. When I was learning how to swim, my mom and her friend, who also had a daughter my age, hired a swim instructor for us. And I don't remember a single thing about it, except that she made us hang off the edge of the pool and just shimmy across the side. But I was terrified of these filters against the side and always refused to go across them because I was scared of being sucked in or something. I don't know how I passed that class because I refused to do the exercise. But at least I knew her eyes were blue. And then at the end of each lesson, she'd give us a piece of licorice, like we were dogs. I didn't like licorice. Oh yeah, and also this one time, I almost drowned and died. So my parents were having a bunch of their friends over, who also had kids, for a pool party. There were a handful of pool toys, like blow-up dolphins and beach balls, but we also had this floating foam mat. I was doofing off doing my own thing, and at one point when I was underwater, the mat drifted over top of me. When I had to go up for air, I hit the bottom of the mat, and I was like, uh-oh. Time for advanced critical problem solving. So if this mat is over top of me, I can't get up to the surface to breathe. So what do I do? I got it. I'll simply become a child Hercules and lift 3 6-year-olds from underwater into the air with my twig arms. Rather than using one of my 4 brain cells and swimming 2 feet to the side away from the mat, I decided to try and just bench press my way to survival. One of the adults realized I was being an idiot and also dying, and instead of being like, well, survival of the fittest, he dove in and saved me. So I didn't end up drowning of stupidity. Thank you, Mr. Chad. And now I'm here, on my own, moved to California, in my own place, not dead at the bottom of a pool, staring at everyone. Being honest, I love my family so much, and they've done so much for me. It takes a lot of effort to raise a person. Just think about how helpless and stupid babies are when they start out. They can't do anything. You can just put a baby on the ground and do nothing. Just leave it alone, and it'll just... pathetic. I'm so thankful and lucky my family's so supportive about everything I've been able to do, because I know not a lot of parents are like that. They even helped me sell merch at VidCon. They were so happy about it too. They came up to me after every day like, oh my gosh, Jaden, everyone's so wonderful. The people who watch your videos are so sweet. Someone asked me to sign their shirt, so I just wrote Jaden's mom. I was really nervous to pursue this career path because it can be a bit unpredictable, but the fact that they're so proud and encouraging has helped me do so much more than I ever would have thought I could if I was alone. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Brown, Hazel. So I just got back from VidCon Australia, and I wanted to say that that was amazing. I've never been upside down before. I was on a few panels with some friends like James and Jezza and Maz, and got to meet a bunch of really amazing, nice people. Maz, Jezza, and I were in the opening show, and I ended up having to draw a wombat with my elbows, which was very difficult, especially since I didn't know what a wombat looked like. If you want to see that, you can check it out on Jezza's channel. He posted that whole thing. I got to hold a snake and pet a kangaroo. It was kind of cold and windy and rainy, but I also got to meet an owl and a whole bunch of you. Just a really overall great experience. I am so appreciative that you guys like my stuff. I also wanted to update you that my shop manager and I are working on a new shop relaunch. We weren't content with the old one and wanted to make better stuff, so there's a bunch of new products and much more really cool things coming, like, maybe the little Ari bag. I don't know. Oh, jeez. Link is in the description if you want to check it out. Thanks for watching. I really mean it. I'm excited to start pushing for more video improvements and just get a bunch of really cool stuff done. Okay, it's getting really hot in this closet. See you later. Bye. Thanks for everything. I love you.
We all know those people, the few dim bulbs of the group. Now, they don't necessarily have to be called stupid, but their actions just make you go, ugh. Now, I'm fine with people not using the full extent of their brain cells to do things, but when their stupidity starts affecting me, then we're gonna start having some problems. The rule disregarder. Someone who either doesn't listen to rules or flat out ignores them. I had a class with this one person. I'm just gonna keep his identity a secret. I don't know what was wrong with him. He did lots of questionable things that made the class just shake their head. One time, he asked the teacher if he could use a pen to fill out a bubble test. And if you don't understand how bubble tests work, normally you get a bubble sheet, fill out a multiple choice test corresponding to the letters on the test, and the teacher gives the filled out forms to this machine and it grades the test a lot faster than the teacher can. But the machine only works when you fill it out with a number 2 pencil. Maybe the guy didn't know how they worked, so I guess it wasn't a bad question. But a few weeks later, when we had another test, it turns out the same guy used, yep, a pen to fill out his test. Really, guy? Really? And as the teacher was yelling at him for being so ignorant, it was noticed that he didn't even put his name on the test either. The advice ignore. When you give advice to someone, they ignore it, and they end up in this huge, problematic situation that you predicted perfectly and they could have avoided if they just took your advice from the beginning. Tori, do you think I should date Aaron or Jet? Aaron has had at least 24 girlfriends and he's cheated on all of them. I'd say Jet- Oh my god, girl, wait! Aaron just asked me out to the carnival tonight. I have to go with him. I'll see you later. Oh my god, Tori, Aaron bailed on me for some blonde named Blonde who isn't even hot. You have to come pick me up. Aaron was my only ride home and I'm getting heckled wet in the rain! The non-future planner. Someone who doesn't think of the consequences of their stupid actions before they make them. Once when I was in 4th grade, I was in the school bathroom, and as I was walking down the little corridor to go into the stall, some girl randomly started yelling, I'm gonna kick the door open! And all of a sudden I heard this loud BOOF as one of the stall doors flew open at my face. Now luckily, I was a master of karate arts when I was little, so my reflexes were lightning fast, and I was actually able to block the door with my arm instead of my face. And I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty proud of myself because I've never done anything that amazing before. But, I mean, come on.
if it wasn't me standing there and instead some, I don't know, poor little kindergartner who couldn't block the door if they tried, there could have been some major issues. I even had a pretty bad bruise on my arm from where I blocked it. Be ignorant. When someone doesn't pay attention to their surroundings, when they could be a hazard to something or themselves.
Jeff, where do you want these knives?
Oh, hey, Jeff, didn't see you there.
Don wanted them over by the cabinet over there.
Hey, Don! Jeff said you wanted these over there.
What?
No, they're the knives you wanted.
Yeah.
You sure?
Okay, catch.
No? Okay, I'll sprint them over to you.
The important detail overlooker. Someone who is told important details and immediately forgets them. Okay, so for the party tomorrow, you said you can bake the cookies?
Yep.
Do you want a specific kind?
Nope. I can eat everything but peanuts, so everything else you want is fine.
Hey, glad you could make it. What did you bring?
Peanut butter cookies.
You want one? They're still warm. Hello?
As of now, Jaden Animations is officially 10 years old. Yes, I know I technically made the channel in February, but shut up, I don't count that. On July 23rd, 2014, I uploaded my first ever animation to YouTube.
Hey everyone, my name is Jaden, and welcome-
Alright, that's enough, you get the point. It's kind of old news that a lot of content creators have started retiring, especially after hitting the old 1-0. Making content on YouTube for 10 years has significantly changed the entire trajectory of my life. I started Jaden Animations when I was 16. At the time, I was super shy, quiet, anxious, knew nothing about the world. I could count the number of friends I had on one finger. But not in a sad way, I liked my simple little life. For the longest time, I didn't even realize YouTube had channels or that people were uploading things like vlogs and series and skits. I mean, it was definitely less established at the time compared to now, but I saw YouTube as just the place to watch funny cats and compilations of people getting hit in the crotch. The way I found out about this whole online world was after coming home from school one day to find my laptop not turning on. Meaning, I couldn't play Minecraft anymore. We've all been there, it's tragic. To satisfy my desperate Minecraft hyperfixation, I typed Minecraft into the YouTube search bar to see if anyone just so happened to upload any Minecraft-related videos. And oh, were there people uploading Minecraft-related videos. My world expanded exponentially at that very moment. YouTube channels, subscribers, people uploading content for an audience that looks forward to their videos. The first channel I ever subscribed to was a Minecraft YouTuber who... I'm blanking on the name. But I was now aware of YouTube as an actual community beyond funny fail compilations. Watching videos became a huge part of my day-to-day life. I put stuff on when I wanted to relax, laugh, needed background noise. If I was having a tough day, I would lock myself in my bathroom, lay on the floor, and watch videos on my phone. And I'd feel better. Even before making content myself, YouTube was an essential part of my life. I branched out from Minecraft to general gaming videos, even the occasional vlog series, until I stumbled upon a very special video in my suggested feed. An animated story time from a YouTuber called Domix. It was his emails video, I remember it so clearly. After watching it, I immediately binged his whole channel. I loved his animated stories, they made me laugh so much. For the first time ever, I thought to myself, I want to do stuff like that. I want to animate. And around the same time, I was really into Aya's Cupquick's Minecraft Oasis series and had even sent in a few fan arts I drew for her. She posted a couple at the end of her videos, which genuinely made me so extremely happy. I was totally freaking out. Anyway, in one of the episodes, she mentioned that she wanted to find an animator to animate some of her funny Minecraft moments.
and suddenly I saw the stars align in front of me. I sent her a little message attached to another fan art, basically saying, "Hi Cupquake, I'd love to animate for you if you're interested." And she ended up reaching out and was like, "Hey, we love your style and would love to work with you. Do you have an animation portfolio we can look at?" To which I responded with, "So I've never actually animated before. But I'm learning, and honestly, they shouldn't have hired me. I wouldn't have hired me. But somehow, I had secured my first animation job. And for my favorite YouTuber. This was by far the biggest thing to ever happen to me at the time. I wanted to make the best animation they could ever ask for. Now, I just had to learn how to animate. No joke, I literally typed, how to animate and Adobe Flash tutorial into the YouTube search bar. That's how I learned. No class or school or nothing. I vividly remember opening Adobe Flash for the first time and wishing I could just skip forward in time to when I already knew how to even use the program because I was so confused. Humble beginnings, what can I say? And honestly, that's all it takes. People ask me all the time how I learned to animate, how I do this and that, what program to use. But you already have the biggest source of free online information at your fingertips. Just type whatever you want to learn into the search bar and people will literally teach it to you, no strings attached. While working on the animation for Cupquake and her husband Red, I talked to them about how I also wanted to make YouTube videos, that I wanted to animate little stories but was too nervous. They were both really supportive and encouraging, saying they'll put a link to my channel in the description of the animation to help me and stuff. I'll be completely honest, if Cupquake and Red didn't hire me and offer to help give me that initial push to start a YouTube channel, I wouldn't have made Jaden Animations. Like I mentioned, I was quiet and soft-spoken. I didn't even get picked on because nobody knew anything about me to bully me with. They had nothing. In what world would a tiny little 16-year-old dust mite of a girl feel confident enough to start an animation YouTube channel where she talks about her life? Especially for what would be a single-digit amount of people for who knows how long. I'll tell ya. She does it in a world where she feels encouraged and inspired by the people she looked up to. There's so many timelines where none of this ever happened. So much had to come together just for me to start. And against all odds, it did. I finished the animation, they posted it, and I spent pretty much the entire month reading every single comment. Everyone loved it, it was doing really well. I remember messaging Cupquake a giant soppy thank you paragraph when the video hit 1 million views. By the way, the entire animation was made on only 3 layers because any more would make my brain confused. I genuinely cannot believe they hired me. At the same time, I posted my very first video as Jaden Animations, introducing myself and announcing that I'm gonna try out making animation videos. It's funny looking back at, because if you don't know all the context, you'll watch my first video and be like, who is this dumbass talking to? She just started the channel, there's no audience yet. The shoutout Cupquake gave me in the description gave me the boost I needed to shake the second thoughts. I gained 2,000 or 3,000 subscribers right out the gate, and ever since then, I wanted to keep making more content, and I was really, really excited about it. I made more animations for Cupquake for a couple years alongside posting my own stupid little videos until eventually parting ways with them to focus entirely on Jaden Animations. Working with them was amazing, and those animations did overwhelmingly well at the time. Like, I look back and am still shocked. I apparently peaked with that damn 2014 FNAF animation. Come on, Nuzlocke. Surpass it, please! Free me from these shackles! By this time, I was in college now, and even though I wasn't able to post very much at all, things were doing really well. I remember sitting on the top of my dorm bunk, secretly celebrating hitting 100,000 subscribers, a milestone I was beyond thrilled about, and honestly was my biggest goal at the time. Somehow, my roommate ended up finding out about it and immediately told every single person on our floor, which embarrassed the hell out of me. But at the same time, I was sheepishly proud of myself that people thought what I was doing was cool. Along with new experiences, for the first time ever, I was making online friends and becoming part of a growing little animation community. Cypher Den, Tony VToons, Lightsen. I even stumbled onto James randomly after being recommended his ASMR video. I specifically remember going through his channel and thinking, I can't believe this guy doesn't have more subscribers. He's so funny. And welp, would you look at that. After finishing my first year in college, I ended up talking to my parents about taking a gap year to see where all this YouTube stuff could go. They were, of course, hesitant at first. Making videos on YouTube for money? Can you even do that? But eventually agreed and have been my biggest fans ever since. I was officially doing YouTube full time. I don't really know what happened, but a few months later, James started blowing up. In our little animation group chat, we were like, whoa, James, congrats, what's happening? And he was like, I don't know, oh my god. And then I started blowing up too, and suddenly the entire Storytime animation community was rising and thriving. It felt like we were strapped onto a rocket heading straight for the stars. People really loved watching Storytime animation. We went to our first ever VidCon, and there was a whole line of people that wanted to meet us, which is a crazy experience for our first convention ever. Since then, everything has kind of just been history. I kept posting, obviously. Met new people, made incredible friends, started building my own animation team, learned a lot about the world. But most of all, being on YouTube forced me to grow thicker skin. I'm sure most of you can relate to some degree. Mindless hate, online arguments, people nitpicking and speculating that you're actually a horrible human being. Because of how normalized posting content is now with TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, I'm sure everyone has gotten their fair share of the hate hammer. But 10 years ago, it was pretty much only big online personalities who were familiar with it, and it comes at you pretty fast. Suddenly, you have to figure out how to hide your personal information and tell family members to private their Facebook accounts, which they don't know how to do. Scary emails come in, uncomfortable comments, lots of uncomfortable comments. I got doxxed one time because someone speculated I was a narcissistic liar because I claimed to be shy and introverted, but would get loud sometimes when reading scripts. Also, fun fact, I never planned on being public with my full name, but the reason it got leaked is because my old high school published an online article about my channel and dropped the full government without my permission. I'm still pissed about that one. And I know, this is genuinely what you just have to expect when you make content online. It's awful, but it's the truth. I didn't want to quit, so I adapted to the horrible things awful videos made about me for attention. There's nothing a passerby hate comment can say that could surprise me anymore. If anything, they're all the same and it's just annoying at this point. Not saying I'm happy that I went through all of it and it should have happened. People can be genuinely awful. But I'd like to say I've come out of it all a version of myself that wouldn't have existed otherwise. Not because of all the shitty things, but in spite of them. I've learned how to stand up for myself, grew my confidence, learned how to separate myself from my work and not take comments personally. All things you learn out in the world over time as you grow up, but crank to 100 and during the most insecure years of a person's life. It was hard, but hey, I'm still here, aren't I? I look back and see my mistakes, bad takes, stupid ideas, regret here and there. It's overwhelmingly stressful to grow up and learn and change while in the public eye, even more now than ever. But all things considered, I believe I was always trying my best in the position I was in, was constantly trying to be the best person I could be. And I won't ever be upset at myself for that. Also, I do want to say, a big thing that's followed me throughout almost my whole career at this point is the fact that, yeah, I've talked about mental health and things I've struggled with at the time, like anxiety, depression, rock-bottom confidence, etc., etc. I've definitely spilled my guts out on the floor in front of the internet a couple times in my day, and there's no part of me that regrets it at all. A lot of people have told me that they felt more understood or learned things about themselves through those videos, but as a now adult that's had the time to grow and adapt and overcome these things, man, you guys kinda still think I'm a little bit pathetic. I see comments all the time when I'm in my friends' videos or being involved in a big event, and so many people go, wow, I can't believe how far Jaden's come from being this puny little scared teenager. I'm so proud of Jaden, really stepping out of her comfort zone here. She is just so brave. for showing her face after dealing with such low confidence. That one's always funny because it can definitely come off like I should still be self-conscious, which I'm not, by the way. I get what those comments are saying, I really do. But guys, not everything I do has to be brave. I'm just doing fun things with friends on camera. We don't need the 24/7 Jaden cheer squad busting out the trophies and medallions every single time. And we also don't need the Jaden defense squad scrapping with anyone that says anything non-positive about me. It's the internet. People have the right to not like me for whatever reason. I promise, it's okay. I'm an adult. I'm doing fine. I appreciate the concern. At this point, it just comes across like I'm very pathetic and puny and can't do anything. Now, somehow, a decade has passed. I'm not the tiny, small 16-year-old who's afraid of everything and can't talk out loud for more than 15 minutes without straining her throat. That's true, by the way. I spent 15 minutes recording audio for my first video and my throat was dead afterwards. It was pathetic. Now I can record for an hour, which still hurts my throat. You can probably hear it, but that's a 400% improvement right there. I'm 26, created hundreds of hours worth of content, have the most wonderful team in the world behind me, am surrounded by amazing friends, live with the most important person in my life, with the most important little creatures in my life. I've gotten to meet content creators I've looked up to, got to tour and travel the world with talented friends, talk on panels to hundreds of people who wanted to hear what I had to say, been able to tell the people that inspired me how big of a role they've played in my career, and even got to stand next to them as an equal. I'm happy. Sure, it's always been and still is difficult dealing with the stress of being in a big spotlight. I went through some bad stuff, navigated rocky mental health, trusted people that hurt me, had to pretend not to be affected by things that were genuinely hurtful just to not empower people that wanted to see me break, all while in the eye of the public where one wrong step could crumble everything I've ever created. But I'm really happy with the place I'm at, the person I've become, and the environment I've built around me. So, what's that leave me with now? A full decade, man. Damn. 10 years of the most difficult, enjoyable, terrifying, exciting, stressful, grateful, soul-crushing, unforgettably special moments of my life. How lucky and grateful I am to have the privilege to say I've gotten to experience so many impossible things, to have so many dreams created and come true, to see myself persist through such a difficult position to be in. After taking a lot of time reminiscing and thinking about what could come next, the direction I want to take to follow what could keep making me happy, I've come to accept that YouTube isn't gonna be part of it. I'm happy with what I've accomplished. I had my rise and grind years. I experienced real and true passion. That's all I could really ask for here. There's not much else I want to do beyond it at this point. But before you freak out, I'm not quitting right this moment. I still absolutely love making content and still have the desire to keep making videos. But my YouTube years are numbered now. I fantasize about logging off as Jaden Animations and becoming a normal person again. I want to move to a random-ass town in a random-ass place, have a little house with my creatures, have a normal job with normal hours and normal problems, live a life where people don't know who I am before I introduce myself. Not saying I don't like being recognized. You can come up to me, I promise. I don't mind. But eventually, I just want to feel like a person again. Normal is rapidly changing nowadays, but I don't want this chronically online lifestyle forever. How nice it would feel to one day not have to triple check every single thing I say in fear of people's pitchforks, or fear for my safety when people maliciously leak my private information, or even be constantly surrounded by strangers' opinions on me and every version of myself I've ever been, every moment of my life. I hold it all together pretty well, I'd say. I mean, it's my job to. And none of these negatives have and ever will outweigh the positive aspects of this incredible opportunity that you guys have allowed me to have. I don't want to come across like I'm complaining. I very much understand this is just unfortunately part of it all, and I'm very privileged and very grateful. But I can't do it forever. And I don't want to. I want to feel like I have the time and mental energy to pursue new hobbies, experiment with other things that can make me happy. Making content for YouTube never leaves my head. It's the case for every single content creator on the platform. There's no clocking out, there's no weekends, there's no breaks. You can't just leave an office and not think about it. You're constantly brainstorming ideas, managing everything, schedules, employees. Sure, you can work and live anywhere you want, go on vacation at any point, build your own schedule, but it's always there, like a black hole in your mind. It's just so exhausting. I haven't felt like I can sit back and enjoy something in 10 years because I simply do not have the time if it isn't for a video. Yeah, that's just how self-employment works, but don't forget about all the other fun stuff I've already mentioned on top of it all. I don't know what I want to do career-wise after retiring from YouTube, but I romanticize the idea of just getting to rediscover myself. Maybe I want to learn how to make custom plushes and open my own little shop, take art commissions, be a teacher, maybe an art director. It's gotten to the point where I think about that little life every day, and I'm actively aiming and walking towards it with every decision I make. Oh, let me tell you, I genuinely cannot wait to live it one day. But there's this other side of me that's so terrified. I've spent my entire young adult life in front of an audience doing pretty much one thing. I don't know what it's like to live without a platform, surrounded by a huge audience anymore. It scares me. Like, a lot. I don't wanna need this, but I'm scared that I do. In some way. When the time comes, I'll definitely work on that fear in therapy or something, but I do think about it a lot. I'm not done with YouTube just yet. I still want to make animations and tell stories, animate little gaming videos. I still just love it so much, and I'm not going away just yet. Sorry to disappoint some of you. I just wanted to let you guys know how grateful I am that you've helped me be right here. I've gotten to meet hundreds of people who told me how much they liked my videos, felt inspired, discovered something about themselves, even did something as small as laugh at one of my stupid-ass jokes. I can't wrap my head around the idea that a lot of you grew up watching my videos and are, like, functioning people in society now. That one always feels like. I know you're not calling me old, but you're calling me old. I'm grateful for all the art people have drawn for me. Even now, it's still so surreal. From the cute little doodles from kids, to jaw-dropping, fully rendered pieces from artists of all ages. Like, you guys are better artists than me at this point. What do you mean I inspired you? Why doesn't my art look like that then? The whole reason I show fan art at the end of my videos is because I look back at the feeling I got when Cupquake put my art in her videos, and I want to be able to give that back to other artists. People have told me they watch my videos to laugh, listen to while working, to feel better after a crummy day, all the ways I used to consume YouTube back in my day. Even though it's easy for me to tell myself, they're just little stupid videos I make. What's the big deal? It kind of also feels like I get to contribute to a cycle I used to be on the other side of and pay it back. I don't know, it just feels good knowing I've made stuff that's made people feel better, in a way that other content creators used to make me feel better. I've rambled quite a bit, but thank you for letting me make these silly videos for 10 years. I never would have thought any of this could have happened to little old me, and definitely not for this long. I absolutely thought I would have been tossed aside and forgotten by now. I look back at when things were starting to roll, and I was like, I've got like a 3-year shelf life left. I'm forever grateful for you, my friends, my family, my team. I don't know what my life would have looked like if I didn't type Minecraft into the YouTube search bar when I was 14. Who knows how much more time we have with each other, but just know it has been and still is an honor to be here. And until then, I'll be doing my best to keep doing what I've been doing for 10 years and just make these silly little animations.
You know, the timing is a little awkward to have just won a giant MrBeast YouTuber challenge that put a lot of eyes on my channel, only for the first thing for me to put out since winning is me talking about how I'm really tired and want to retire one day. That was not intentional, I'm sorry. But yes, the next video coming out will be about me winning the MrBeast Cube. We're still working on getting the money all set up to be given away, so you can stop emailing me asking for money, it's not gonna work like that. Anyway, thank you to everyone who's been
with me at any point of my YouTube career. I've still got a little bit more juice left in the tank. I'm forever lucky to have lived the life I have and to continue living that life. And I appreciate you guys for sticking around. I'm excited to spend a bit more time with you all. So I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye. Well, would you look at that? The first video I'm posting in 2017. In a year, we can look back at this video and say, we had no idea what we had coming. So another year has passed, which means we're all 1 year older, which means we're growing as people, which this is a stretch. I didn't have a transition. As a youngster, I was prone to believing people pretty much unconditionally, as with most children. I just had too much trust for my own good. Like, oh, why would anyone have any reason to lie to me? The world is full of nothing but nice people and purity. Of course, I've grown out of that mentality and am a lot more cautious. But for a while, people could just tell me things and I just believe them. I got thinking about all the ridiculous things people put in my head that I stored as facts, and I decided to make a list of the craziest ones. And also just letting you know, I was like younger than 7 in all of these stories. Don't worry, I didn't just find out these things aren't true like a couple months ago or anything. When I was in first grade, for some reason my mom told me aluminum foil is poison and if I ever bit it, I'd die. A bit strange, but I think I know the idea behind it. Apparently, biting foil can induce a galvanic shock. Basically, if the foil comes in contact with braces, metal fillings, something like that, the metals will react with each other and create a little electric shock. But all I knew as a kid was teeth, contact with aluminum foil, death! And I was petrified. I didn't even have braces or anything metal in my mouth at the time, so nothing would have even happened if I tried it. I also remember going to school the next day and telling my friend, did you know that if you bite aluminum foil, you'll die? And she goes, I think I've bit foil before. And I was like, how are you not dead? Grasshoppers spit acid in your shoes. This one probably needs explaining too. I was at recess with some friends and we were running around in the grass without our shoes on. When we went back to put them on, there was a little grasshopper sitting at the bottom of my right shoe. Guys, look, a cute little grasshopper is wearing my shoe. And one of my friends goes, oh my god, grasshopper spit acid, get it out! And then we all start panicking at the fact there was a death grasshopper in my shoe. I looked up why she could have thought that, and it actually is a fact that grasshoppers can spit a brown liquid to protect themselves from predators. It's called tobacco juice, and even though it's slightly acidic, the worst it really can do is stain your clothes. It's pretty much harmless. But oh, dude, no, I had the image in my head of some Breaking Bad hydrofluoric acid dissolve through everything it touches kind of meme. Also, just saying, I didn't mean the drug acid, even though that could be equally terrifying. Speaking of staining clothes, I was at lunch one day with the rest of my class, and one boy took out a bag of pomegranate seeds his mom packed for him in his lunch. A lot of us hadn't seen them before because it's a bit of an exotic fruit, so it caught some attention and we were all asking a bunch of questions about them. The boy said, did you know pomegranate seeds can stain your clothes and it'll never come out? Whoa, that must be one powerful fruit. It never comes out? Never, ever, forever? Not even with the power of
OxyClean Laundry Stain Remover. It gets the tough stains out.
And then we watched the kid eat a bag of pomegranate seeds sitting sideways with the seeds on the space next to him because he didn't want to spill them on himself. Looking back, it was definitely just his mom exaggerating because she didn't want to have to deal with the stains in laundry. A sly parenting trick, if I do say so myself. It's weird to think she's out there somewhere and she doesn't even realize she accidentally taught me that lesson too. This one's actually kind of common to believe, and I think a lot of people have been passing this myth around for a long time. Sitting too close to the TV is bad for your eyes. I did research on this one as well, and even though it might seem like it could be true, there's apparently no actual evidence that sitting in front of the TV is damaging to your eyes. But oh, little old Jaden believed it, and you know what I did with that information? Stand directly in front of the TV. Yeah, for some reason when I was younger, I really, really wanted glasses. I don't know where that came from, I just liked the look of glasses and wanted them. So when no one was looking, I would go up to the TV screen and stare at it. Like 1 inch away from my face. This'll get me glasses. But it didn't work, obviously. I actually have really good eyesight. Maybe standing too close to the TV will improve your vision. But yeah, I'm glad my eyesight sabotage plan didn't work because having glasses just seems like a hassle and inconvenience. Tip of the hat to anyone out there with glasses or contacts or even glass eyes that are annoyed by them. Wish you the best. We people without those things forget how good we have it. This one's a bit related because it's about eyeballs again. If you try to use your eyes to look back into your head at your brain, they'll get stuck and you'll be blind forever. It's a bit of a spin-off of the other eyeball myth of, if you cross your eyes too much, they'll get stuck like that. I never believed that one, but I believe this brain one. A friend told me once that if you tried to look at the back of your head with your eyes, you might be able to see your brain, and we spent the whole day trying to do it. Then, when I went home, I asked my mom about it, and she said, "Don't do that, they'll get stuck." I think I believed it so quickly because if you try, it does kind of hurt your eyes a bit because they're not really supposed to be able to look back into your head like that. And I thought that was like your body saying, don't push it, this is a warning. And even to this day, I'm a bit nervous pushing my eyes to their rotation limit. I don't know how else to say it. I know it's not true, but it's still always in the back of my mind, which I'll never be able to see. And finally, the most ridiculous thing I believed. So, I don't know how this happened. No one told me this. I don't understand where I went wrong here. But somehow I ended up confusing the disease tetanus with AIDS. I don't know how I did that. Back then, I didn't even know what AIDS was. And yes, I am considered a PG channel for the most part. So if you're a youngster watching and you don't know what AIDS is, your parents will explain it more in a few years. It's a disease that you don't need to worry about for the time being. Only adults should need to worry about it. So yeah, I thought tetanus was called AIDS. The disease that you can get from an infected cut was called AIDS to me. And the worst thing about it is this one time someone accidentally cut themselves on a rusty shovel, and I have the memory of saying, careful, you could get AIDS. What? Why? How did this happen to me? I don't understand what went wrong. How do I mix those two things up? But whatever. I know the difference now, and that's all that matters. But I do sometimes mix up saying tetanus and Tetris. Careful, you could get Tetris. I ended up learning a lot while making this video, and since I debunked a bunch of lies, I'm gonna tell you a truth I found out recently. Real quick, since this is the end card. So a friend asked me, what's the purpose of pink lemonade? And I was like, good question. So I looked it up, and I'm not talking about the lemonade from strawberries or any fruit to change the color. Classic pink lemonade. So apparently, pink lemonade originated because a long time ago, way back in the day, there was a concession guy selling lemonade at a circus. And he ran out of water and he had to hurry and find some more, and there was no river or stream nearby. And he found that a performer had just washed their red tights in some water, which turned it pink. So he used that pink water to make more lemonade, and just told people it was a special strawberry type lemonade, and he sold a bunch more lemonade. So next time you drink pink lemonade, the image of dirty circus tight water might pop into your mind. Sorry.
Welcome to 2018, Jaden. What's different? Nothing yet, I don't think. If you're like me and don't plan on doing anything extraordinary this year but still want to spice things up, I have a few suggestions. You know me, living life on the edge. I'm exciting. I'm adventurous. Of course, the best way to make life more interesting is to induce a variable of surprise and the unknown. In 2017, I conducted my own apple research. I just ate a bunch of apples. Here we go. I just got really curious one day. There's so many different types of apples and I don't know jack rabbit about any of them. Did you know there's... What the shit? Did you know there's 7,500 different varieties of apples? 200 in the US? Because that was the first time I actually Googled it. I didn't eat 7,500 apples last year, but every week when I went to the grocery store, I'd get a different type of apple I hadn't had before, so I'd be learning about a new apple every week. It sounds stupid, but shut up, I learned a lot about apples. Such a vegan. So growing up, Mom always got us either Fuji or Gala apples, which are some of the most common apples in the US. This is all just my own opinion and research, by the way. If you have a different opinion, good for you. Gala is pretty much the standard average apple. Nothing bad, but nothing fantastic. Fuji are a bit brighter in flavor and crisper, but they're both good standard apples to make a constant variable. Ha! See, I learned something in 7th grade science. Now, yes, this is happening.
Back again with another Fuji food review.
Golden Delicious are softer and less sweet than Fuji and have more of an applesauce taste. I'm aware of the irony in that description. Prips Pink or Pink Lady apples are firmer than Fuji but more tart. I don't like Red Delicious. They have a thick skin and mediocre flavor, and if you get a bad one, they're super gross and spongy. Everyone knows Granny Smith. She's green and tart. Sugar Bees are a lot crisper than Fuji and, like the name suggests, super sweet. A top tier apple. Envy tastes pretty much like Sugar Bee. Call me apple racist. Jazz apples were a disappointment, mainly because I thought the name was cool and the grocery store had a fun little name tag for them. They didn't taste all that great. Ruby Frosts,
No, wait, I'll go faster. Have thick skin and are kind of sour, but not as much as Granny Smith. Pacific Rose are my favorite and the best apple. If anyone tries to tell you there's a better apple, they're probably right because they only tried like 15 out of the 7,500 varieties, which is like 0.2%. But these are the ones I buy all the time now. Honeycrisp apples are crisp. Nah, they're good, but they're more expensive. Peru apples are really crunchy and taste like a wheat gala. Rockets are super small and have a unique aftertaste. Macintosh are surprisingly super soft and sweet and taste nothing like a computer. Braeburn, also known as the worst apple to ever be genetically created. I tried it for the first time and was like, ugh, ew, whoa, what the freak? Like, it's trying to be sweet, but also tart at the same time, and it's like, just pick one, you're just a dumb apple. Apparently, they were created by accident and are a hybrid of Granny Smith and Lady Hamilton, so they're not even supposed to exist. Jeez, Granny Smith, use protection. But, I mean, to give them credit, that's pretty progressive considering it was the 1950s. Apparently, Braeburn is also a My Little Pony character. Anyway, avoid at all costs. I hope all the Braeburn trees Braeburn in a giant fire and rebirth into Pacific Rose ones. So now you're an apple master. Like me. Apple Research gave me something to look forward to each week and isn't very expensive since they're apples. I'm also currently running a similar experiment on mint gum flavors. If apples aren't good enough for you, then try doing something you normally wouldn't do. But not because you're a new and improved person. Just to try and get a good story out of it. If you start trying to induce good stories, eventually you'll get one. When I was still in college, I had to take a service learning class where we had to earn 75 hours of service from some sort of internship without being paid. The one I chose, completely on my own, not because it was the closest to campus and I didn't have a car, was working as a teacher's aide at a children's Montessori. Don't know what a Montessori is? Me neither when I took the internship. It's a children's school where the teachers focus more on letting the kids learn things on their own more naturally than traditional teaching methods in elementary schools. Wait, Jaden, this sounds interesting. Can you explain a bit more? Nope, I'm moving on. So the main reason I chose the Montessori, not including the location, was because kids are funny. And there would be some great stories to come from babysitting a classroom of kindergarten to third graders 6 hours a week for a whole semester. I applied to the Montessori and scheduled an interview. I've never had a real job before, so I was super nervous and didn't know what to expect. The head teacher, Miss Frizzy, which isn't her real name, greeted me. Actually, no, first, I didn't know where the front door was. Like, I went up to the door that I thought was the entrance, but it was locked, so I called the number they gave me, and they said just go through the gate, and I didn't know where the gate was, but it ended up being around the side of the building, and the gates were all closed, so I thought I'd have to hop the fence to get into the school, but it would look super sketchy to see a college student hopping a gate to force their way into a children's Montessori. But I figured it out. So I met Miss Frizzy, but not in our own room. It was in the middle of the kids' class time when they were all running around with books and puzzles. She was like, hey then, nice to meet ya. And pulled out a kid's chair because they didn't have anything else. I sat down and my knees crunched up to my chin. It was a lot more casual than I thought it was gonna be. And probably should have been. There was one part where she was like, do you have first aid training? You legally need to have that if you wanna work with children. And I will not confirm nor deny the possible first aid training in question, but yeah, we might have brushed over that one. Anyway, I got the internship, arrived the first day, and no one told me what to do. I was like, hi, how can I help? And also, how does everything work? Because I know nothing. Oh, yeah, just help the kids if they need help. Oh, okay, then. For the majority of the internship, I was stressed out and anxious because for 3 hours every time I went in, I felt like I had no purpose except walk around and smile at kids. Occasionally, I'd help one find a puzzle piece, but those were the exciting days. Also, two kids didn't even speak English. Like, what am I supposed to do when a kid's crying? I ask what's wrong, and I get, for an hour, the kids would have lunch and then go outside to play, and that was more manageable because I just had to make sure none of them backflipped off swings or something dumb. I could also pass the time and prevent insanity by sweeping sand off the pavement. My favorite memory by far when I was there was when a kid got stuck in a bucket. We just hear, help! To help! And look over to a kid, upside down turtle with his butt in a pail. Pathetic. So what can you take away from this video? Braeburn apples were an accidental hybrid love child of two apples, and kids are incompetent at life. See, with a few little tweaks, it isn't hard to spice up your life. Now, go out and get yourself a funny story. Also, one day at the Montessori, a kid pooped on the sidewalk. Happy practically end of January. Sorry I haven't been able to get more videos out lately. Life hits you hard, bro. I'd like to thank Dave from Boyna Band's sister, Hannah, for the little Japanese boy's voice. That was actual Japanese. She taught herself Japanese in her free time. She told me the translation, and I'm not gonna tell you. Little Easter egg for the people who teach themselves